In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to treasures. We are continuing on the book of Romans, chapter 3. We are still in the problem of Gentiles and Jew people. The Jew people consider themselves as the people of the law, the people of the circumcision, the chosen one, the better ones. The Gentiles suffer from this superiority. Both parties became members in the church, but they couldn't love each other. And the heresy of Judaism brought this false teaching of you should be a Jew before becoming a Christian. St. Paul stood strongly against this heresy, and he wrote this letter specially to restore the real Christian doctrine of the salvation for all nations through Christ the Lord. We were reading chapter 3, verse 5, but if our unrighteousness demonstrate the righteousness of God, that's kind of a question made by somebody to attack the teaching of St. Paul, as if it's kind of he is protesting against what St. Paul said about the judgment of God. If our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. Certainly not. For then how will God judge the world? For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory. Again, he is repeating the question in different way, as if he received the question from somebody who is saying, so my mistakes, my bad life proved that God is good. So I helped him. So I gave him something. So he is saying it in another way. If the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as the sinner? So, you know, it's kind of a cheating way, because I am a sinner. And if my sin just proved that God was righteous in all what he said, does not mean that I served him in this or I helped him to be right. No, he will always be right because he is God. But I am the one who made sins, who chose to be bad. So my free will is my problem. It's not God's problem, you know. And why not say, let's do evil? Some people may take it in a very deviated way, saying, let's do evil that good may come. So, as if they're saying, let's do bad and God will make the forgiveness. God is good, will offer his salvation to whatever we do. So let's continue doing the bad thing. Let's do evil that good may come, as we are slanderously reported and as some affirm that we say their condemnation is just. So as if St. Paul is saying, I never said that just go and do bad things and you will be given the forgiveness. That's not a Christian teaching. We never said so because God does not like evil. So you will repent. You are asked always to turn away and go back to God, to stay Christ-like, to stay in good condition, to do good only. What then? Are we better? So Gentiles corrupted, Jew people corrupted, all people are corrupted. So what then? Are we better than they? Back to the Gentiles. They may think, okay, now we are better. At least we did not have the circumcision idea or the law of Moses. Not at all. For we have previously charged both the Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. So in chapter 1 and chapter 2, he proved that all parties are the same. Doing bad, they all under sin, under the condemnation. As it is written, there is none righteous. So he made it from the Psalms of the Old Testament. There is none righteousness. No, not one. no single man on earth is totally righteous. Whatever, whoever, Jew or Gentiles, still or sinners. There is none who understand. There is none who seek after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. So, the Holy Spirit revealed it clearly from the Old Testament that there is no one whatsoever on this earth is good, is pure, is righteous. Everyone had done that. All people are sinners. Where and are sinners? Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongue they have practiced deceit. Because St. Paul, you know many psalms by heart. They, as all Jews, they tend to memorize many of the psalms. So he made it that easily. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongue they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. So mouths are bad, their feet are bad, their attitude totally bad. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. That's the part given from the psalm. Now there is a question. This part applies on the Gentiles or upon all people? So let's listen to St. Paul. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. So he's saying simply, these words apply to the people of the law. Apply more on the Jew, because the Gentiles will never listen to these words. They do not have psalms. They do not believe in the psalms. So the words given by the Holy Spirit in the psalms apply more on the people of the Old Testament, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. He made it very clear that this prophecy given in the psalm about the wickedness of the people is related more to the people of the law, not only to the Gentiles, because the people of the law were listening, were praying with these words, so they will know how much wicked they live away from the law of God. Although they have the law, but they fail to do the law, so these words are again them, applied upon them. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. If you evaluate any Jew or even non-Jew, according to the law given by God, there is no justified, not one. All are condemned. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the importance of the law of Moses, the law of the nature in the heart, and the law of Moses is to know the right and the wrong, to understand the will of God. But the law could not push you to do the goodness. You will choose to do good or bad. That's you. You choose. But the law by itself, it's the source of knowledge. It adds to the knowledge. You know more than anyone by the law that God hates this, dislikes evil and likes goodness. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Now he speaks about Christianity. When he says now, that's the New Testament. That's the good news. Now we shut up all the old stories of Gentiles and Jews. We are opening a new era, a new page for all nations to be saved by a new way. There is a different way, a new road to walk, which is the road of salvation, which is Christ the Savior, being witnessed by the law and by the prophets. So the prophets and the law were pointing at this era, were directing their people to the salvation through Christ, through faith. But this salvation is open for all part, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's the theme of the Romans book. The theme is righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. If you want the righteousness of God, if you want to be righteous before the eyes of God, if you want to be to hire the kingdom of God, you have to be through the only begotten Son, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. All meaning Gentiles and Jew. All are called to be saints, to be righteous, to be saved through Jesus Christ. To all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. So the idea of no difference took us like more than two chapters. No difference between Jew and pig and Gentiles concerning the righteousness status. Nobody is good. Nobody is righteous. All fail to be good. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They couldn't glorify God by their lives. They fall shortly. They couldn't make it. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. They were justified freely. Nobody can pay any. The idea of salvation is related to the Savior. Christ the Lord will redeem the people. Redemption through Christ Jesus is the key for righteousness. It's the source of salvation. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. So He paid the debt. He paid His blood to cover all the sins of the whole world. So He redeemed the people. So that's new. There was nothing like this in the Old Testament. God Himself saved His people by redemption. All people, all Adam's offspring were redeemed through the new Adam, the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness. So this will prove that God is still good. God is the Father. God loves people. God loved man. That's why He came to save him. Although men were all bad, were all sinners, but God being good, He came to save him. God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So He covered all the past, all the sins, by His redemption, by His blood on the cross. So Christ came to be crucified, to pay the debt of all people, for all nations, and to call everyone to believe in Him, and He is the way to the kingdom of heaven, the only way of salvation. To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness. Now we glorify Christ because He is our Redeemer. He proved to be very much righteous because although we are all bad, we are all sinners, He came to save us. To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He is the only just one. He is the only good one. He is the only holy one. He is the only blameless one. So He came to make all people like Him, to cover the sins by His righteousness, to make people as righteous as Himself through His grace. That's the grace of God. There is no, you know, rituals could share in this. There is no law can help in this. There is no circumcision whatsoever can add to this. That's a full gift given by God, the Redeemer of the New Testament. Where is boasting then? Because Jews tend to boast, to feel superior. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. No one can boast by his acts. No one can say, I am good. I have done good. No one can say, but I'm a sinner. And He saved me. He is the one to be glorified. But no one can, you know, feel proud of himself after this. Where it boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. So, the law of the Old Testament were kinds of actions. Do this, do not do this. But people failed to do all the list. So, they were not righteous. All condemned. Now we have a different law. The law depends upon the faith. We believed in God who will save us, will cover our sin, will pay our debts. So we are saved just through Him. He is the Savior. We could not save us or share in this by our part. But according to the salvation given, we need to go His way. We have to follow Him. We have to be Christ-like. We need to live His life to prove our faith, but we are not paying our debts. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. He is speaking about the deeds of the law, because somebody may understand this part as if we believe that works, deeds had no part in salvation. No. The works of Christianity, of Christian man following Christ, is very essential in his salvation, because it's the sign that he is a real Christian guy. He followed Christ's teaching. He loved Christ. He is attached to Christ, united to Christ. So how come he has no deeds? So deeds, works, still there in the process of salvation, but not the deeds of the law of Moses. It's totally, useless now, because the blood of sheep and the offerings of the Old Testament, the respect of Sabbath, will not pay anything in the debt of our sin. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Now, after you listen to these three chapters, you can easily answered the question, is God now the God of the Jews only? Did he come to save his people? Who are his people? The Jews? Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. So there is just one way of salvation to all people, all parties, to believe, to obey the faith, to follow Christ, the only Redeemer, the one God who came to save human beings. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not, because people may say that let's ignore all what's written in the Old Testament, just shut down the book of the law. No, we did not say so, because the law partially, help us to live Christ-like. Do not murder will stay as a commandment. Do not do adultery. It's a commandment given by God. But, we couldn't make it by ourselves. Now, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the grace of the New Testament, we can do not only the law of Moses, but also the law of Jesus Christ. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. So being saved with the blood of Christ, being people of God, the new way to heaven, now we can do the law in which we failed to do it before. So again, the third chapter, collect the idea of the first and the second to make the truth clear that all people, Gentiles and Jew, are sinners. And they all wait to be saved. They need the power of salvation. They need somebody to pay the debts. They cannot save themselves. The law could not help in this. The circumcision failed to make the Jew people good. So all people need God's salvation. Glory to God. Amen.